Dear Jesus, we come before you this morning, ready to worship, ready to sing, Lord God, ready to declare truths about you, Lord God, that are a blessing to us. We declare these things to you, Lord God, not because you forgot, but because we need to be reminded of how faithful you are, of how loving you are, how amazing you are, Lord God. In this Psalm Sunday, as we take this Sunday, Lord, to remember your faithfulness, to remember all the amazing things about you, Lord God, I just pray that you would be with us, that you would stir within us, Lord God, a new song, and that you would just bring forth worship this morning. We want to praise you, Jesus. So be with us in this place, Lord God. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Yeah, who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. Yeah, I was breathing, but not alive.
All my failures,
I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. 'Cause when you called my name, out of the darkness into your glorious day, you called my name and I ran out of that grave. Hey. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Now your mercy has saved my soul.
Now your mercy has saved my soul.
Hallelujah.
Now your freedom is all that I know.
Yeah.
The old day knew Jesus when I made.
I needed rescue.
My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healer. Now you're
you call.
Sing out faithful.
Faithful you are. Savior, you have brought me near. You pulled me from the ashes. You have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free.
Anybody set free this morning?
Lord, I can't help but sing. Promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. Whoa, faithful you are. Promises, they're all true, yeah. We cry out to you, Lord.
I will rest,
and I will rest in your promises, my confidence. Is your faithfulness?
Come on.
I will rest.
How many of you need rest this morning?
In your promises, my confidence. Is your faithfulness? I will rest in your promises, my confidence. Is your
and amen. His promises are faithful to us. Good morning. Welcome to Main Place on this great Sunday. What an opportunity we've had this summer to go through building a better future. And I'm glad for your faithfulness and coming out every Sunday as we build these building blocks to help us in our foundation and our walk with Jesus Christ. You may be seated. This is a great Sunday as we wrap up our series this summer on building a better future. It was a time for us just to rest and to relax and maybe to reset some things in our life. But this morning, we're also going to reflect what God has done for us through the book of Psalms. So this is Psalm Sunday for everybody and also a communion service. So those watching online, if you haven't got your elements ready for the end of the service, please so do if you could. And those in here, if you got them on the way in, they're in the back. If you have not, you may exit and go grab them on the table, the elements. So when we do communion, you are ready to go to communion and to the Lord's table with us. So good to see you. We're in Psalm 22 this morning. And as we look at this psalm, like the Gospels, the psalm here also gives us a picture of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalm is especially true in Psalm 22. David writes this psalm, if you could imagine, as if he was sitting at the foot of the cross, because everything that he writes about and puts it into words, into a song, it's as if he was there himself. But David actually wrote this a little over 1,000 years before the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the crucifixion was not a Jewish custom for capital punishment. So it would be interesting why David would be writing about a cross and crucifixion when it wasn't part of their punishment at all, which yet describes it so accurately for us this morning in Psalm 22. Jesus quoted from this psalm a lot. It says in the very first verse, my God, why have you forsaken me? So the whole narrative, as we go through some of the verses this morning, everything is looking forward to the cross and the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and the punishment that he paid for our sins. So if you have your Bibles, Psalm 22, let's just start in the first verse, if you would, with me, which I just started to read. It says in Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? And then as you look through the rest of the psalm, go down to verse 6 and 7, he is also scorned and he's mocked by the onlookers. Verse 6 says, but I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusts in the Lord, yet him rescue himself. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And then you go on down to verse 15. It says that he thirsts. It says 15, my strength is dried up like a postern, and my tongue clings to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death. And then we go down to verse 16 where it talks about the ruthless Gentiles that are surrounding his life. In the first part of that verse, it says, for dogs have surrounded me. And then the end of the verse of 16, the hands and feet are now pierced. He said, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and they pierced my feet. It goes down to verse 18. If you would with me, look down there. It says the garments were divided and the lots were cast for those garments. And verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. See, as a Christian, when we read Psalm 22, we can't read it without picturing our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, is what David wrote here. So I like Psalm 22. It gives us a quick picture of three thoughts. And the first thought is this. It's a vivid portrait of Jesus' affliction for your sin and for my sin on the cross. And then it goes halfway through the psalm. It alludes to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it closes with this special thing. It closes with the future kingly reign of Jesus Christ. It says, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nation. So that is all wrapped up in what David puts to words in a song about our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ quoted the Psalms more than any other book in the Bible. He didn't look down and look at a Bible like we have. He didn't look down at parchments or manuscripts like they had in those days. See, you can't hold a Bible. You can't hold manuscripts. You can't hold anything in your hand when you're hands are tied in court. You can't hold anything in your hand and read it when your hands are pierced to a cross as you're dying. So what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. Why? Because he's God. And he fulfilled Scripture by quoting the Psalms while he was there on the cross, fulfilling that Scripture. For Jesus, the Psalms were the very words of God. And that's why it said in Luke 24:44 that these Psalms must be fulfilled what David wrote about early on. It says this, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything that was written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus, as he's dying on the cross, fulfills what David wrote 1,000 years earlier. It accounts for this. There's only one man, and there's only one event that this could be attributed to 1,000 years earlier, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And yet through all of this, God is still at work. All of this, as we're reading Psalm 22, it says in verse 15, "You have brought me to the dust of death." God is bringing about salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me this morning. As we reflect back on Psalm 22, there had to be a way that our sins had to be paid for. There had to be a way that our sins had to be made right with God, and that was through his son, Jesus Christ. God was at work through this whole Psalm 22 for you and for me this morning. God came in the flesh, and he suffered many things just like you and I suffer in this world. The hurts, the pains that you have, the losses that you've had, the temptations, the struggles that you might be facing at work or through your family life, all of this, whatever you're struggling with, whatever is just encompassing your mind and your thoughts that's driving you to your knees every day and praying for God's help, God understands. There is a place you can go, and that is to God himself. Because why? He has been there before you. He is there leading the way. He is the place on the cross that he took our sins and our suffering for you and for me. So there's no person in this world that can ever say, "God doesn't understand what I'm going through." Oh, yes, he does. He's been there for you. He's been there leading the way for you. Christ knows this morning all what you are dealing with, all of your pain, all of your struggles, all of your hurts, all of your maybe so-called unanswered prayers this morning. He knows them. So take heart, my friends. He loves you. He cares for you. He touches you, and he wants to be with you. And so as I'm reading this psalm with you this morning, and I've just enclosed everything that God has done on your behalf, God is at work for you. So I look at this and I read this. Okay, Drew, what should be my response to all of that? My response would be a grateful heart.
You again and again.
That is our response to all that God has done for us in Psalm 22, is a heart of gratitude to giving thanks to God for all that He's done. Someone once said that a heart of gratitude, that gratitude in your heart is like a magnet. That gratitude, that magnet, goes over the scriptures and it pulls everything out that God has done for you. And we give thanks for everything. So as we look at Psalm this morning with a heart of gratitude, that magnet picks up everything, and we bring that praise back to God. It's the same in your life this morning, past week, this past year. You take that heart of gratitude and put it over your life to remember, and the magnitude brings everything to remembrance of all God's goodness in your life. So we bring to Him this morning our praise. We bring Him this morning our gratitude. You see, Jesus was born to die. Christ was born to die our death so that we can have a life through Him. And we have been born again to die His death so that He can live through you and through me. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11, always carrying about in my body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live our lives are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. Man, that's a pretty crazy paradox when you read it. The same cross, that same cross that was the instrument of the death of Jesus Christ is the same very instrument used to give you and me life. Very interesting. That cross, which stands in history, that marked the crossroads between Jesus and humanity, that cross, the place from which unfolded the most horrifying, the most inhumane, the most violent, the most unthinkable, blasphemous act of injustice and death the world has literally ever seen, nailed Jesus to a cross. Likewise, standing in history, that cross is the most precious, glorious, life-giving place this planet has ever seen. It has been the testimony of hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people that have given their life to Jesus Christ. It was that place, the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that not only changed their entire destiny, but changed the course of their entire life and their direction for the rest of their lives. The same is true for you, and the same is true for me. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, it has changed the direction of your life. The cross of Jesus Christ, no doubt, this morning, is the very instrument of death for Christ, now has become the very life for you and for me. And perhaps, maybe I can say it a little succinctly this way, is that Christ died a death to give us life. Now we daily die his death to give him life to this world. And that, my friends, is great news. That, my friends, is God's purpose for our lives this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God for the cross. Amen. Let's stand and sing our next song this morning. Hallelujah for this cross.
Thank you, Jesus. I was a
prisoner. Now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood, you bought my freedom. Oh, hallelujah for the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. 'Cause with your blood, you bought my freedom.
Seated. Hallelujah for the cross. I like that. You were a prisoner, but now you're not. You have your freedom. Thank you. You may be seated as we conclude this part of the service, crying out with agony these words from Jesus Christ on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? As horrible as that was, it was all going according to God's plan. You get that? It wasn't a mistake. God put his son, Jesus Christ, to death for you and for me. All of it was the fulfillment of scriptures as we're reading. Even the worst of it was a fulfillment of scripture. That moment, that probably the most horrific, worst moment in the history of the world, and it was scripture fulfilled to a T. When Jesus took his last breath, when he said, as we just sung, "It is finished," in John 19:13, Jesus was just getting started. It wasn't finished. He was getting started. And what he was getting started, he was finishing the war that began before the first child was ever born. He was now closing just the foreword of the next book that is written about the everlasting kingdom, his kingdom. He is just getting started, folks. It was finished that he paid the price for you and for me, but Jesus was not finished. He was getting started. And Psalm 22 this morning, it foretold, it is and always will be what Jesus has done for you and for me. It says at the end of Psalm 22, if you want to read with me down to verse 30 and 31, he says, "And posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to what? The next generation that will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this." I want to leave you with this promise. He has done this for you. He can and will restore your soul. Don't lose heart this morning. Our great shepherd has walked through every valley imaginable to you and to me. The valley of death before us and for us. It was in this valley he was stricken. He was afflicted. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was bloodied to a pulp, brutally sacrificed and crucified by the evil people. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, Isaiah 53 says. And as our great shepherd this morning, he is leading us every way and through every valley that you will ever face in this life, now and to eternity. He will restore your soul. How do I know that? The next chapter is chapter 23 of Psalms. And if you listen to these three verses, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff protect me, and they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of all my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Oh, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Now catch this. "And I and you will dwell in the house of the Lord." How long? Forever. He will restore your soul. That is the promise of Psalm 23. How do I know that? Because it was purchased by Psalm 22. That's how we can have that promise, because of the price that was paid by Jesus Christ. There's an elderly gentleman walking with his grandson. And his grandson replied to his grandpa, "How far are we from home?" He asked his grandson. The boy answered, "Grandpa, I don't know." Well, the grandfather said, "Well, where are you?" Again, the boy answered, "I don't know." The grandfather replied back, "Sounds to me as if you're lost." The young boy looked up at his grandfather and said, "Nope, I can't be lost if I'm with you." Ultimately, that's the answer for me, and that's the answer for you as well. That's the answer to our lostness. If we're with him, we're never lost. We can't be lost if we are with him. He says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Me and Jesus, our good shepherd, will restore you." He can and he will this morning. May Psalm 22 in your life this morning be your song just for a brief night. But may Psalm 23 be your song for eternity. And it can be. This I believe.
I believe.
believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is free and one. I believe in the resurrection. Then we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name.
Amen. You may be seated. We sing that because we believe that. We believe in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are His church. That's why we're here this morning. So we thank you for being faithful to God. And through the scriptures, He's given us two ordinances to the church. That is baptism and the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. So this morning, we're going to participate in that as a church this morning, and we thank you for coming. This is the only thing that we can do together corporately, is not only praise God, but come together and take communion as a church together as we go out and celebrate all that He's done for us. So if you have your communion elements in front of you, please hold on to them. See, when Christ ascended back into heaven, He gave His church various things to remember Him, and this was one of them. It's a beautiful thing. And that's why we come as we close, building a better future, remembering Jesus Christ for all that He has done for us. So as a church, we are celebrating that this morning, communion in a significant way, in an event acknowledged together the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in full payment for our sins. So if you're a guest this morning and you're not quite sure of this whole thing, we just ask you not leave, but just stay. We just be an onlooker this morning and just view what we're doing so that maybe next time you come and we observe communion, you'll understand what Jesus Christ has done for you and accept Him as your personal Savior. So we do this as a church of believing Christians and remembering what God has done for us. Communion is a time, I like this, is to look within ourselves. Communion is a time for us to look within ourselves. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, let a person examine himself, then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. See, Paul told the church in Corinth, he said that they should not approach the Lord's table or the supper lightly, but be reverent. So he said, look within and examine your own heart. So I would ask us to do that this morning. Will you pause with me and examine your life, any unconfessed sins, anything that needs to get right between you and your Savior before we proceed with communion. And also, not only is communion a time to look within, it's a great time to look back. And look back in a good way. Look back to His body that was broken for us. Look back at His blood that was shed for our remission of sins. Look back what Jesus has done for us on the cross. So if you have your communion elements in front of you and you can open the top and take out the bread, the wafer there, and let's take the bread together. And God, we thank you for this bread that represents the body of Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And God, we thank you this morning that Christ lives in us and through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, setting us all into a family of believers, the body of Christ. This is your church, and now we receive this bread in your name. Amen. It said in 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took this bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And then you have your cup in front of you. If you would like to open up, it says this. It said, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup in the New Testament covenant is my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This cup of the new covenant in Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed for you." Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And God, we give you thanks for the bread and for this juice. And we ask you to bless it as a symbol of your blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior, your only begotten Son, who died for us, washing us clean and to bring us in peace with you. So we thank you for these simple elements this morning, not as so simple forgiveness, a forgiveness that required the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, a forgiveness that required his perfect life, which is now credited to our behalf and to our account. He died so that we might live. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willing to shed your blood on the cross, that the sin debt is now paid in full. It is finished for all of us who believe. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we look within, we look back, and communion is a great time to look forward to the day that we will get to do this. Can you believe that? We get to do this with him in heaven. Doesn't get any better than that. Having communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, who simply just asked us to remember him. And that's what we do this morning. I like what Matthew 26 said. He said, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day that I will drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus came to forgive our sins and to die on the cross. And Jesus is coming again. Amen. Let's stand. As we close this morning, we thank you if you're online watching us for the first time or coming back and taking communion with us. We thank you dearly for being with us in the presence of God this morning here at Main Place. And for those here, thank you for coming. If you're a guest this morning, my gosh, we're so delighted to have you here with us. We count it a privilege for you to be with us here this morning. We give back to God out of a gratitude, a thankful heart for all that he's done. There's tithe envelopes in front of you. You'll put them in the baskets on the way out. If you're watching, a great place, just hit the donate button. Easy to fill out, and then hit the submit button. We thank you for your generosity, that our doors can be open, that we can be a lighthouse in the community here in Orange, Main Place Christian Fellowship. And then as we leave this morning, we want to thank you for your prayer requests. Please fill them out. We want to pray for you. Online, there's a great place for you to put your prayer requests, and just hit the submit button when you're done as well. We'll take your name to God in prayer this morning because he cares for you. So we want to close out this morning before we head to our Bible study here in about 10 minutes with a great song. It takes me back to my junior high days, a song that I sang growing up, which is familiar to many of us, because we want to close out this morning because God gets the victory. It's victory in Jesus Christ, my Savior forever. Let's sing together as we close this morning.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me out and bought me with his redeeming blood.
Let's bring it up now. That's what I was waiting for.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Let's sing it.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me.
Can you say victory? One, two, three. Victory. That's what you have in Jesus Christ. So as you leave this morning, give you one piece of homework to do. Can you do it? It will change your week. Remember, gratitude of the heart is like a magnet. It will pick up whatever you're thankful for. Let it pick up one thing and share that with somebody this week. Amen. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you in Bible study in 10 minutes.